name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, and welcome back to Tuning Into. I mean, if you're listening again, I appreciate you so much. If you're listening for the first time, I appreciate you so much. And thank you. May the grace and peace of Christ Jesus be with you all this night, or this day, or whenever you're listening to this. I am your host, Brother Cody Bancroft. You are now tuned in to the Conjunctive Catholic Podcast, in which I am very, so grateful that you are listening. So essentially, this might get kind of weird. I uploaded two very, very old podcast episodes from very old podcasts that I did in the past. But I thought it would probably be beneficial for the listeners, i.e. you, to kind of hear my testimony, regardless of how absurd or kind of stupid it was, but to better essentially explain how I adopted Anglo-Catholicism and why I do have, for example, Methodist influences on my Anglo-Catholicism, or why I still have some Reformed Catholic influences on my Anglo-Catholicism, or even like just straight, strictly Reformed influences. So may this be like a little like manifesto is not quite the word, but maybe like my testimony to you. And I came up with like 11 parts, but I don't want to necessarily do 11 episodes. So we'll see how this ebbs and flows for you, dear listener. Essentially, though, thank you for tuning in to the Conjunctive Catholic on Anchor FM. It's available on Spotify for sure. It's available on Google Podcasts and several other podcast catchers, so thank you and bless you. I hope you had a great Holy Week, or if you're going into Holy Week, and today happens to be, I'm not sure if the East celebrates Monday, Thursday, but hey, you know, maybe you do, I'm not sure. So hopefully you enjoy this episode, this brief introduction to how I was first saved and became a Christian. If this interests you, let me know on the Twitters, on the web, at Conjunctive, C-A-T-H. That is C-O-N-J-U-N-T-I-V-E, C-A-T-H, on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening, friends, and I hope you enjoy this brief beginning to my testimony. Where did I come from? Like, who am I? Like, if you really want to know these things, and what is my testimony, hopefully this will be beneficial and a blessing to you all. Thank you for tuning in. Who am I? Where did I come from? What is my testimony? That's what I want to get to the bottom of in this episode. I don't know how brief I'll be. I mean, I may go into great detail, I may not. You know, it just depends on where this leads, or where I feel led to speak on. Specifically, but I was saved at the age of 17. Essentially, I went to a very small rural, somewhat rural school district, and I befriended, or rather, a pastor's kid daughter befriended me and my punk friends. My punk, stoner, druggy friends. So, yes, I was a punk, stoner, druggy at the age of 17. Surprise, right? In a one-horse town with two bars, a McDonald's, a Subway, two gas stations, and literally nothing to do. There was one park, which you could not be at a certain time due to whatever city guidelines. It's not even a city. It's really ridiculous to even call it a city, but I'm not trying to get too deep into the weeds. This is just the background that I want to give you. I want to share my testimony in a way. So her father happens to be the pastor of, and I'll just say the names. People can put together the pieces of the puzzle if they'd like to. But her father happened to be the lead, or I guess head pastor. I'm not really sure how this works in the Assemblies of God Church. But anyways, of the Assembly, Grand Ledge Assemblies of God. And she would invite me and my other punk friends. You know, we were all really into hardcore and like literally, like, I don't mean punk in a derogative sense. I mean like punk as in the sense is like I was very much into emotional punk, emo. I listened to Under Oath. I was a big fan of Under Oath. I've seen Under Oath a few times. I was a big fan of Chiodos, which if you're not from Michigan, you may not know even about these bands, and it's like probably not necessarily knowledge you need, but, you know, I'm sharing my personal little manifesto with you all, so do bear with me. But, you know, so I listened to, like, Taking Back Sunday, Atreyu, Avenged Sevenfold, My Chemical Romance, The Used. Like, we were these, like, punk emo kids who liked heavy music and emotional music, and we all came from very broken backgrounds. Now, I can't really speak much into, and I'm going to leave names out for obvious reasons. Can't really speak into the pastor's daughter's frame of mind or her background, but this is just the reality. We would literally ride the church bus because, you know, the bus would take us into Grand Ledge, this little suburb of Lansing, Michigan, where we'd either go to the youth group church, quote-unquote church. I mean, it was essentially a youth service for us youth. And we decided, like, I mean, I remember smoking cigarettes on the property and being asked by the youth pastor to, like, at least go stand on the sidewalk kind of thing. So essentially we'd be bused from our little podunk town, a couple, like, I don't know, 10 minutes south of Grand Ledge, Potterville, to this Assemblies of God Church youth program on Wednesday nights. You know, we'd be picked up in the church van kind of thing. And we'd decide whether, like, we'd chill and play, what was even that Nintendo console at the time? This is really aging me, by the way, as it should. This was, like, 2007, if that makes sense. So, like, yeah, the Nintendo GameCube was a big deal. And, like, Smash Brothers and whatever Mario Kart, if there even was one, so on and so forth. And we decide whether we'd walk to another local park to smoke weed and get very high, or whether we'd choose to go to the youth program that this church had. Well, over time, I can't speak for all of my friends at the time, but over time I decided to set in on the program because, you know, like, I'm trying to think of even bands at that time that would have been played. Under Oath was a big one. Trying to think. Norma Jean. The Chariot. Yeah. For all points of reference, like, listen to Levi the Poet, because he speaks on the Chariot in one of his poems and getting all wild and out. Yeah. In any ways, like Children, like 316 or something like that. A lot of Dance Gavin Dance. I remember meeting a girl at this at these events and like just like kind of like actually vibing with the kids. We eventually actually formed a band together with the youth pastor. I did. We played one show and another show that I didn't show up to because I would rather go get high. Anyways, over time, I did truly decide in whether it be, I always put it this way, like, I believe the Holy Ghost plants seeds. Whether he uses the word, whether he uses other people, I do believe that God works with instruments, whether they be open instruments, and that is to say, whether they be willing participants or not, God still uses people or things in our lives, especially now thinking on the sacraments, to bring us to himself. If we think about like Paul on the road to Damascus, and I forget, is it Ananias? Or I forget, honestly, whoever was sent to tell Paul, to confess to Paul things from God. It's another great example. You know, Lazarus and the rich young ruler, or rich young man. Anyways, regardless, I decided over time to actually set in on the service because, you know, the music was my vibe. And eventually, the sermon, the word, struck a chord. No pun intended, talking about all this punk and oi talk. Yeah, not really. Never got into crust punk, per se, but, essentially, over time, I did want to set in the sanctuary and listen. I wanted to hear what they had to say. Now, partially, I mean, I guess you could argue that it was, like, the pastor's daughter, like, no, you should stay, you should stay, like, you know, don't leave, like, we're kind of responsible for you children. Not that my parents, my single mom ever had to sign a waiver for me to hop on a church bus and go a town away. Anyways, that's besides the point. Eventually, I did set in on the services, and they were, like, right up my alley kind of thing. And I do believe that the Holy Ghost the entire time was planting seeds that would grow, seeds from the word, by the way. I do believe I was saved by, again, like, you know, God uses instruments. So a preacher stands in persona Christi, as a person of Christ to speak Christ to us. And so, even in this Assemblies of God congregation church on a Wednesday night youth service, or rather at a Wednesday night youth service, I do believe the Holy Ghost was planting seeds of salvation or drawing me to Christ our Lord, and, you know, illuminating my hardened heart as God was doing work within me, replacing my hardened heart with a heart of flesh, you know, removing the stone and giving me a heart of flesh. And so eventually I did have a very spiritual experience where I realized that after hearing the word preached, that Jesus Christ is the truth. And not only was the truth, but is the truth. Essentially, I was met, and it was a very spiritual experience, not simply because it was charismatic, because I'll be completely honest, I have a lot of qualms with like the emotionalism and the use of music and the almost like manipulative elements of Pentecostal or charismatic churches that do draw out of you a sense of something, but the question should be, is it from God? Is it godly? Is it righteous? Is it actually of God? But beyond that, though, I did have this very spiritual experience where I felt like I was met with the face of Christ at one of these services after months of attending, where Jesus truly did present himself to me, I feel. And, you know, feelings are subjective, so take that with a grain of salt, too. But this is my religious experience, so I'm not trying to, like, explain it away. If you pressed me, I would say I was saved by the word of God. Well, do with that what you will. Regardless, during this experience, I was faced with the fact that, no, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah that takes away the world's sins. And to have this revelation come upon me and then to deny it, well, would be utterly insane on my part. It would be to reject truth, capital T truth, to reject him who is truth. And so after that encounter with Christ, I did do the cliche evangelical, charismatic altar call. We did the whole close your eyes and raise your hands if you want to accept Jesus into your life thing, which obviously Jesus was already there because he was already presenting himself to me. He already condescended to me as he did on Calvary's cross. So really nothing I did. It wasn't a decision theology kind of moment. It was more or less, no, God has chosen to reveal this truth through grace, through the illumination of the Spirit to me. Now, what am I going to do with it other than submit to the truth that is Scripture, that is the revelation of God to me, a mere mortal? And so at 17, I was saved. I do believe I was saved. And as I'll go on to share, I went back and forth with this. Like, am I elect? Am I not elect? Yeah. And you'll get why. But I would say at the age of 17 that I was saved by the preaching of the Word of God, and that the Word of God was administered to me, albeit not as personally I would have preferred it. But that's the thing, right? God uses instruments. He takes you out of his element, or rather, he takes you out of your elements to reveal something to you. And for me, it was the grace of justification. Justifying grace and accepting Jesus Christ as who he truly is, not who he truly was, not some historical figure or moral, you know, character, but truly who he is. And that's what saved me, arguably.